It's Friday, and that is awesome. So is the fact that most of us are going to get an extra hour of sleep this weekend. Can't wait for that. Today, we're going to explain why that tradition started. I'm Carl Lazusa. This is CNN Student News. First up, Greece's debt crisis overshadows just about everything else at the G20 Economic Conference. World leaders are meeting in France to talk about global financial issues. President Obama, who's at the G20 meeting, says the most important thing they need to do is to resolve Europe's financial problems. Greece's debt is a big part of that. There's a deal that would give Greece a financial bailout, but it comes with rules about cutting government spending. That's made a lot of Greek citizens angry. The country's prime minister, George Papandreou, shocked a lot of people earlier this week when he said he wanted his citizens to vote on whether they wanted the bailout. Yesterday, he seemed to change his mind and said the vote may not be necessary. 17 European countries, including Greece, all use the same currency. It's the euro. And if one of those economies takes a big hit, it could have a seriously negative effect on all the others. Max Foster explains it was a very different story when the currency was first introduced.
It was heralded as a tool that would change the status quo of the global economy, a challenger to the dominance of the US dollar and the Japanese yen.
A majority of the EU's politicians agree that a single currency, to be called the euro, will benefit trade, guard against inflation, and eliminate exchange rate risks.
But in the face of monetary unity, there was division, with protests stretching from Spain to Germany.
Across Europe, according to one survey, consumers are more negative than positive about the coming of the euro. Many worry that businesses will take advantage of odd exchange rates to round off prices upward.
Will the euro be a benefit or a loss for everybody?
It's a big step towards union, and union most of the time means peace.
Countries that are economically worse off, we'll end up paying for. And then, before you know it, there will be another war.
European leaders were on the hard sell, painting the euro as an economic and even social savior.
In the long run, such a project will in fact contribute to the kinds of things that our citizens are looking for. Security, the absence of crime, the absence of drugs, prosperity, jobs, trade, investment.
The euro is the beginning of a strong European Union. We shall be the best in the world. The best in the world.
Next up, a milestone for China's space program. Last month, the country launched a laboratory module into orbit, and on Tuesday, China sent up an unmanned spacecraft. Yesterday, the two came together. China's government says the successful docking is another step on the way to building a space station. For now, the module and spaceship will be used to run some experiments. Then the ship will come back to Earth while the module stays in space. China plans to try another docking test, one with an astronaut on board. That'll happen sometime next year. On this day in history, back in 1922, British archaeologist Howard Carter and his crew discovered the entrance to King Tut's tomb. In 1979, Iranian students stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. More than 60 Americans were taken hostage and held for more than 14 months. And 3 years ago, in 2008, Barack Obama won the U.S. presidential election, becoming the first African-American elected to the Oval Office. If you've been watching our show over the past month or so, you've probably heard of Occupy Wall Street. This protest movement doesn't have a specific leader or demands, but a lot of the protests seem to target the U.S. financial industry. In New York City, it's been going on for more than 40 days. The protests are happening in other parts of the U.S. as well. For the most part, they've been peaceful. That hasn't always been the case in California. What you're seeing is video from Oakland. Protesters there have been fighting with police officers. Yesterday, some protesters started throwing rocks at the police, who then used tear gas to try to break up the scene. Members of the Occupy movement are blaming the violence on a radical group among the protesters. In the U.S., daylight saving time is coming to an end this weekend. It means for most of us, it's going to get darker an hour earlier. But why do we have daylight saving time? How did all that get started? Reynolds Wolf takes a look back at why we fall back early Sunday morning.
This is not a complex issue. Daylight saving is basically self-explanatory. It's saving daylight. Originally, daylight saving was one of those things where it was originally for agrarian societies. It was to use them, get the most use out of as much daylight as you possibly could. It was certainly helpful with farmers, certainly helpful with fishermen. But then later, in later years, it actually began, daylight savings was actually practiced for the sole purpose of saving energy. We've been following daylight saving time in the United States for quite a while. It really first became official back during World War I for the sake of growing extra food for troops overseas. It was brought back for World War II. But recently it was the Energy Policy Act of 2005 that was the real difference maker that made it more of a formal type of exercise that has been basically followed by every state in the United States with a few exceptions, that being, of course, Arizona, Hawaii, U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and the American Samoas. Internationally, it's kind of a hodgepodge around the globe. If you took a look at the planet and you were to light up places that were experiencing daylight saving, you'd see really just a hop, skip, and a jump from one continent to the other. It's kind of varied wherever you happen to go. There's some places I can tell you in Africa where there are many spots where they don't practice it. There are many places, obviously, in parts of Asia. Europe, though, practices it for the most part. Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty stuff. This is the stuff that drives people crazy. To me, it's daylight saving. It's a verb. It's something we're doing. We're saving daylight. Savings is a noun. That's something that you have at the bank. Obviously, we're using the verb. It's very possible that at some point we may indeed get rid of daylight saving time, but for the time being, it is certainly here, and it's something we've got to deal with, for better or for worse.
Just the facts. Veterans Day is celebrated every year on November 11th. That's because it's the date that an armistice went into effect, ending World War I. In fact, Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day. In the U.S., it became a federal holiday in 1938, and the name was changed to Veterans Day in 1954. The holiday honors all of the men and women who have ever served in the United States Armed Forces.
Veterans Day is a week away. We're getting started early because we want you to be part of our coverage. We want to hear why you think it's important to honor America's veterans and how you and your class are planning to do it. A couple ways to tell us, and they are both at our website, cnnstudentnews.com. You can comment on our blog, or if you're at least 13, you can send us an iReport. Find out how to do that in the spotlight section, cnnstudentnews.com. Trent Glaze is a high school senior. This past Friday, his school's football team played its last game of the season. They didn't win, but they did get to run one special play. After the clock hit zero, the teams lined back up, and Trent took a handoff all the way to the end zone. He's been in a wheelchair for 10 years because of muscular dystrophy, so this was the first time that Trent was able to be part of a play. His coach says Trent has always been an inspiration.
Hopefully our young people, our players, will take his drive, his heart, and run with it, you know, for the years to come.
It's emotional. I mean, I still get butterflies thinking about it.
And finally today, a vending machine that offers snacks high in protein. In fact, they're pretty much all protein, because this machine dispenses meat, steaks, pork chops, sausages. It's called the Smart Butcher. The store owner who installed it says it sells about 10 to 20 different meats a day. The prices are pretty good, too. Guys at the local deli might feel a little threatened. Now you don't have to visit them. Thanks to this machine, you can vend for yourself. It is the first of its kind in Alabama, and residents say they never sausage a thing before. They seem to like it, so I hope it doesn't get removed, because that would be a cold cut. Those are great puns, no matter how you slice it. Just glad I didn't butcher any of them. Remember to set your clocks back this weekend, and we'll meet again Monday for more CNN Student News.